I'm Randy Hahn, and you're listening to another podcast from Teal Town, USA.
Good evening, everyone. It is March 8th, 2018. We saw a lovely football match here in the great Silicon Valley between the San Jose Sharks Soccer Club and the St. Louis Blues FC. It was a riveting matchup between two powerhouses in the West. Wait, what do you mean it was a hockey game? We had a soccer score, for crying out loud. It was 1-0. But yet the Sharks did win 1-0. And the power play bout is over. Thank God. Oh, we'll cover all that and more. But first, welcome everyone to Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks postgame. So be a part of the show. Chat with us and fellow Sharks fans in the YouTube chat, on the page, or the app. Or hit us up on the Twitter machine using the hashtag TealTownUSA. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube. With me tonight, I have Mr. AJ Strong. St. Louis penalty, number 71, AJ Strong, 2 minutes for roughing at 4:59. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, somebody's got some sounders to play with tonight, so we'll be on the lookout for that. Also joining us, the guy who spells his name the right way, it's Mr. Eric Landy.
Yeah, you know, I've got the dual warring cameras here, so you know, AJ's got his little sound bites and I've got my dual cameras, so we're up in the production value, people.
And then there's me with the AOL connection, of course.
Pretty much. But yeah. People in the chat already looking at like Eric's connection. Just like, I'm just saying.
I know. What else is new? But all right, let's do this one. I mean, how else do you talk about a Sharks win that's, 1-0, I guess you could say? We didn't need Chris Wondolowski to get us the game winner, but nonetheless, we will talk about this. Oh boy. All right. So there was no scoring for the first two periods. We could tell you that much. But
oh wait, nothing happened in the first period?
Or in the second period. Oh my God.
And nothing happened in the second either?
We've unleashed something.
Yes, we lost our minds, folks. But I will say this, kudos to the Sharks' defense on this part. They held the Blues to 4 shots on goal in the first period. They didn't get their first shot on goal until like 8.5 minutes into the game. And then, I mean, shoot, overall, 16 shots on goal against St. Louis. And yes, St. Louis is like won once in their last 10 games, but Landy, to give the Blues just 2 shots on goal in the third period when the game was tied 0-0, you got to give the credit to the defense on this tonight. That was absolutely excellent performance on that part.
You know, this team has been very up and down as far as the defensive respect of the team goes. I mean, the first 2.5 months of the season, the Sharks were very, very much a team that was defensive lockdown. It seemed like after January rolled in, this team found another notch scoring-wise, and the defense took kind of a back seat. But now we're kind of seeing both of them equal each other out. And we're seeing a team that's got some balance scoring throughout the lineup. And we've got a team that is able to shut you down and suppress quite a bit. Now, St. Louis is a 2-line team in my estimation, maybe 3, but honestly not really a super high-octane offense sans, you know, Vladimir Tarasenko and, I mean, Schwartz and... You know, one of the other
Shen, Schmaltz, anybody that the brothers,
the brothers. Yeah, the Shen brothers. But yeah, so I mean, it was nice to see that, but I'd like to see it against a high octane offense. See how well this team really is shutting down defensively.
And AJ, I'll say this to you as it comes in the chat from Sleepy Mofo. Was the Sharks playing a shutdown defense or the Blues that bad offensively now?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, didn't the Blues come into this like losing 9 of their last 10? I mean, the Blues are just on a horrible streak right now. Nothing is going right for them. It seems like and the trade deadline just compounded that. That's the thing. You look at the score, you say 2-0. All right, Jones gets a shutout. And you look at the defensive, just the way that the defense played for the Sharks tonight. Yeah, great, especially in the third where they kept the Blues to, like, what, 2 shots on goal. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's that part is awesome, but let's not get too excited. This is the Sharks had a hard time and for 2 periods. And for most of the third period, had a hard time beating a team that is on the skids right now, is on the outside looking in. So I don't want to get too amped up about this, but just let's just continue. Positive vibes.
As they say in Pulp Fiction, let's not go sucking each other's dicks right away.
Wow.
I think we want to try to keep it a little cleaner than that. But hey,
it's a Pulp Fiction reference.
No, I hear you. When it's a quote, then it's okay.
Exactly. Context here, people. Context.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So yeah, I don't want to get too nuts about this, but on the good side of things, Bodker continues to look good. I thought Timo Meier had a very good game, especially to start. Really.
Kane.
Yeah, Kane really good first grade. But Kane, the more that I watch this guy as a Shark. Now, granted, I didn't see a lot of Kane when he was in Buffalo and not much more of him when he was in the Peg. But I got to tell you, this guy, this is like the second coming of Owen Nolan. I mean, he's fast. He's physical. He doesn't put up with anything. Kane is bringing a dimension to the Sharks that they have sorely been missing since Ryan Clough. Just a power forward guy who could score, but also had just a nasty streak to him. And the way he finishes his checks is kind of reminiscent of Mike Ricci. So I am really enjoying Kane right now.
Yes. Sleepy Mofo is pretty much thinking hell's frozen over because, damn, AJ giving credit to Bodker. I'm shocked.
Well, and you know what? Steve's saying you better hold on to your Bodker. Do I still have it or did I sell it? I can't. Oh, no, I still have one. I still have one. Okay, I had to take a look. I do. I have one left. I sold one to somebody else. Either way, I digress.
Gotcha.
It's interesting because somebody is saying, Chloe, yes, but Nolan, no. Nolan. I mean, honestly, I think that Kane's got a little bit of mixture of both because I think he's probably faster than Buster, but maybe has a little bit better hands than Buster did, but he's got that nasty streak in him.
He's got the nasty streak until he scores a goal from center ice in the playoffs. Then we can talk about hands. Until he points his own shot out in an all-star game, then we can talk about hands.
You know what? Randall Hahn with a great comp, Wayne Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I would go with that too. Definitely. I like that idea. Yes. So the Sharks were cycling the puck throughout and it was crazy that they were getting chances and chances, especially in the second period. But then St. Louis turned that around it was late in the second and then Hurdle takes a penalty and then I thought, watch out, this is where the Blues are going to get it. We just know how we've seen this in the past, where it's a low-scoring game. The Sharks, you know, are great on the PK, you know, hashtag that's so Sharks that they would give up the power play goal, but they don't. Instead, Kyle Brodziak takes a penalty. St. Louis penalty on number 26, Kyle Brodziak. 2 minutes for holding at 10:30. Your Sharks are on the power play. Yes. More like powerless play.
Oh, my God. AJ.
I'm gonna have so much fun with this. You have no idea. Wait till the next Pugnologist. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, God. We might have to keep this out of control.
We're gonna do it live, baby. Do it live.
Nonetheless, the Sharks were entering this game 0-28. They hadn't scored a power play goal in the month. I think Uncle Darren Stevens came up with the fact that they had gone 39 even strength goals. It was the longest streak for even strength goals since 1959. And then Mikkel Boedker scores a power play goal. Are you
58-59.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's awkward. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the post game show and they're showing my ex-girlfriend. That's cool. Anyway, little scotch of awkwardness there. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Boedker scored
the power play goal.
Yeah, he scored the power play goal, getting you almost halfway to a Brody Brazil jersey. So close. And Brody brought it up during Twitter mission, so he was rooting for it. Where is Boedker at right now? 14 goals?
13 goals.
13. Okay, so he's got to score 7 in 15 games. Good luck, jerk. Good luck. Good luck, my brother. But at least he's coming on. Again, I just want to reiterate, not the best team. You know, I would have expected the Sharks to be a bit more dominant in this. Again, the defense was fantastic, but and the offense did have a lot of good chances, although, you know, this was the quote-unquote backup, and we all know what happens when the Sharks face a backup. But I would have liked to have seen a little bit more from them, but I really look forward to the Capitals because I feel like the Sharks are going to break out again. I mean, I'm not calling a Chicago score of putting up a touchdown, but I think that it's as we get further, closer and closer to the playoffs, it seems like it's coming together a little bit more, a little bit more. You saw how quickly they adapted when Tierney went off for a few shifts and even, I mean, Kane gets like an extra shift in there and just, he's just, I don't know that I've seen a Shark come in from a trade since Joe Thornton that has just fallen into the lineup just like that. You know what I mean? What is Eric showing me?
Oh, I was just showing the tweet from earlier tonight. I pretty much said, okay, let's unjinx the power play. If the Sharks score 2 power play goals, I will get a Brody Brazil Sharks jersey.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let me address the chat for a quick second.
Go for it.
Knights Roundtable saying, what's up with the holla, as in my lower third? Clearly you're new here.
Please subscribe before you go away.
Please hit that subscribe button, please, if you would. Give us a thumbs up.
And mute for about the next 30 seconds because AJ's going to rag on you.
No, not at all. Not at all. No, the holla is there just because, you know,
holla.
Eric holla, and it all started with, where was holla? Minnesota before, right? Yeah, so it was a game against Minnesota when Randy Hahn, voice of the Sharks on the TV broadcast, was calling the game and kind of said his name that you just saw. And here's a shot from Eric holla. And with that subtle little inflection, and ever since then, that's been it, baby.
Yeah, Alex in the chat, leave before you're scarred for life. But yeah, that's where it's come from. And of course, Holla spells his first name the right way. Did you say, Lynn?
Can we knock it off with the spells it the right way, crap?
Oh, shush.
He's just
jelly.
I wish both of you guys were like named AJ, because you can't spell that the wrong. You can't spell that the wrong way. I'm just saying. There's only one way to
spell. You can spell it EJJ.
No, E-H-J. You know what it is? I wish one of you goofballs spelled it E-R-I-C-K. That would have been really fun.
Or but anyway. C-H. That's the other like really goofy way.
Yeah. Oh, and 21 Puck saying, "I will not rest until holla is the Sharks." I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but moving on to the third. You know,
he's doing quite well on that Vegas team.
Yeah, he is.
Everybody on Vegas is doing quite well.
That's true. We want to welcome those of you who just finished watching Brody and Brownie. This is Teal Town After Dark. We are your live and interactive Sharks post game. So join us in the chat. You can just join it in and have fun. You know, we're just having a good time talking about this. We got 41 people watching, so we thank you so much.
Talking about
all kinds of Sharks hockey. So really, there wasn't much to talk about in this game.
Wow. So everybody who has just joined us, not a lot to talk about.
I know, that sounded horrible. But let's talk about Martin Jones with the 16 save shutout. I mean, talk about I won't say it was easy, because he definitely has a lot of he definitely had some challenging shots.
Yes.
But I mean, it's just Joner with his 19th shutout of his career. What did you think from Jones tonight?
Who are you talking to, Eric?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. We'll go with AJ. I'm sorry.
Oh, I saw him get that 19th shutout, and I was just like,
"Oh, good for you!" You know.
he looked good. I mean, you know, he it's a shutout. Now, granted, I don't know that St. Louis gave him a whole lot of rubber to stop tonight. I mean, I'm surprised Jones didn't stroll out to the net in the third with a pillow. But I mean, what are you going to do? But, you know, they even mentioned it in the pregame that, you know, Jones over his last, I think, God, I want to say like 5 or 6 starts somewhere in that neighborhood, he's let in 2 or less. So, I mean, he's trending, you know, or at least kind of staying where you want him to. And with 5-on-5 scoring kind of trending upward just a little bit, hopefully tonight the Sharks finally getting off the power play tonight will be something that goes forward and will help them up. And you just give Jones a couple goals of support, he's going to stop stuff for you. He's going to win you games. But, you know, when you're turning over pucks left and right in your own zone and looking at you, Burns, but when you're doing that, you're going to end up showing your goalie some, you know, some tough looks. So they locked down the defense today. Again, got to preface, not the strongest St. Louis team that we've ever seen, but Jones did everything he needed to do tonight, and hopefully that continues. I expect Jones will get the start versus the Capitals. What do you think Deller gets back in anyway? I mean, maybe
what's the next back-to-back?
Well, I was going to say, though, maybe next weekend, but maybe he gets a look versus Detroit. I mean, Detroit's not exactly tearing up the league, but
yeah, I mean, upcoming for the Sharks, it's home to Washington on Saturday. Monday they play Detroit. Wednesday they fly up and take on Edmonton. Friday they start a back-to-back with Calgary and Vancouver. So you definitely could get him maybe 2 starts within the next 4 or 5 games.
I'm just letting you know, between now and that Vancouver game, I am going to find a piece of audio of short out. He scored! And I'm going to load that into the sound bank.
Oh, my God. I'll ask you this, Lindy. So, Capitals, Red Wings, Oilers, Flames, Canucks, 5 games. How many games does Dell get in?
I think at least 1.
Minimum
1.
Yeah, maybe 1. I mean, I don't know.
Back in there. And again, I look at that the Sharks have 5 games left, or 5 games. They have 15 games left, but only 5 of them are versus playoff teams. So I think this is an opportunity to give Jones, you know, you're going to give him some rest. Are there any more back-to-backs between now and the end of the season? I don't think
next weekend, which is what I was getting at. Well, so
yeah, so next week,
St. Patrick's weekend. And yes, then I think there's a couple more after that.
And you throw into the fact that Jones is going to need to be ready. It wouldn't surprise me if Dell goes versus Detroit, then Jones goes the next 5 games, and then Dell goes versus Calgary. So Jones gets a little bit of a breather before they go on that 4-game roadie that's going to be quite tough, you know, at Chicago, St. Louis, Nashville, and Vegas.
Yeah, so they have 1, 2, I think they have 1 more in April. or no, they don't. So they just have those last two back-to-backs. So, Landy, I'll ask you this. Which games would, if you were PDB, which games would you put him in?
I'm with AJ on that game against Detroit. I mean, that looks like it would probably be the most obvious choice.
Essentially, what Landy is trying to say is...
Yeah, what he said!
That's what he said.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, pretty much. In the next five, yeah, that would be definitely the game I would look at. I don't see him playing against... Maybe Vancouver. Right, I think maybe Vancouver would probably be the other team. Yeah. Detroit or Vancouver.
See, here's the interesting thing, because you know how PDB kind of plays into the hometown thing? Well, Dell's from Alberta. Jones is from North Vancouver. It wouldn't surprise me if he puts Dell specifically because they're playing Calgary on a Friday night, and then the next night it's Joner in Vancouver on Saturday night. So
I totally agree with that, and I think what'll make even more sense is let's say we go out a week from now and Calgary continues their skid. It just makes more sense to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. I guess that sounds about right.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how much time Dell gets in, because 2 years ago when Reimer was traded, he definitely got a lot of playing time in at the end of the road of the Sharks regular season before they started into their magical postseason run. Kind of getting some things in the chat. Well, I'm kind of going in order here. If we ever to get another outdoor game, this is from California Greenhorn Fisherman. If you ever to get another outdoor game, who would you want the opponent to be? Ducks, Kings, Knights?
Well, you can't do Kings. You have to change it up. Mm-hmm. Well, see, now the Ducks have been in an outdoor game, but they haven't hosted one, right?
Right.
Well, technically, I mean, yeah, I guess Dodger Stadium is Kings territory.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was Anaheim, then it would have been where the Angels play. Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question. I think you have to do Ducks, and it has to be at AT&T Park this time.
Please.
It would be fun. It has to be.
Yeah. Angel Stadium as well. Let's see. What else do we have in here? I'm trying to look in here. Ryan Bear, who runs Knights of the Roundtable. He does a good job over there. So kudos to you. Thanks for joining us in the chat tonight. It'll be quite interesting to see. Oh, Sleeping Buffalo wants me to do the playoffs start today. We'll get to that, actually.
Jeez Louise.
Well, I mean, now, guys, we're
pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, we're at the point. We're 15 games to go.
Oh, okay. I'll give you that. At least we're not at, like, doing this at game 12 like normal.
Hey, that was Chris's fault. That was Chris who did that first time around. So
it was Lacey in the chat. You know, project out 10 to 12 years, and I can't wait to see the outdoor game Seattle at Vegas.
Hey, that'll be fun.
I will travel to Vegas for that, my friend.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're going to play. Where are they going to play? UNLV, I guess?
They play in the Raiders Stadium. Well, or no, that's domed, right?
Hmm. No, it's got to be UNLV.
Yeah, it's got to be UNLV. Or they go to CenturyLink Field. That would be interesting.
No, UNLV.
And then the Seattle whatevers will wear lime green jerseys.
Wouldn't Vancouver in Seattle be more like geographical rival?
Well, yeah. And it would, of course. But I was just going with like the two newest teams type of a thing. But if you go obviously geographically, yeah, Vancouver and Seattle. I think you know that game's going to sell out. Both teams are like within 2.5 hours of each other.
Oh man, that'll be crazy.
I think that's going to do all right. I mean, if you can sell out what 70,000 plus at Levi's when the two teams are 5 hours from each other, just imagine. Well, you could almost do a double header at the Clink and sell that.
Yeah. Don't give Gary ideas.
I'm just saying.
All right. guys, one of you, I'll let Landy introduce the next segment.
Oh, should I have something queued up?
No. I'm gonna have Landy do this one. Landy, go ahead.
Well, I mean, we're talking about the most, because it is Women's Appreciation Day, the most beautiful shark, you could say, on the team who's ever played. We have to talk about Mr. Jonathan Chichu. The Chichu Train announces his retirement. 15 years.
There. I was wondering where he was going with this, but okay.
15 years. And I think he will be honored against Calgary, correct?
Yep.
Yes.
On March 24th.
1 o'clock game.
Yeah. Cheech retired in the middle of this past week, this week, actually. Of course, we all remember his 56 goal run as he won the Rocket Richard. You know, a lot of people don't remember that following year he had 37. And while it steady declined after that, and then his subsequent way to Ottawa as a part of the Danny Heatley deal. Guys, I'll start with you, Landy, and then I'll throw it to AJ. Your favorite Chichu moment as he wore the best number ever.
Oh my God.
Not that I'm biased, but go ahead.
I remember a particular 2-on-1 with him and Jumbo. And it's one of the more famous ones that are always on his highlight reel. But it's just basically redirecting a Jumbo Sauce pass into the net. And you look at that and it's emblematic of those 56 goals where basically all he had to do was place his blade of his stick pointing towards the goal and he would get a goal. I mean, literally, Joe Thornton played like a madman on fire. And that is the only reason why Chichu got a Rocket Richard. And you know what? Those two really, I mean, they lit it up. And like I said before, you know, it was emblematic of how he scored his goals and just had instant chemistry with Joe. And it was just something just really nice to see. Really, you know, just like I said, just that one goal where he just tips it in and uses the momentum.
Dude, hold on. Puck guy about ready to lose his crap. All right. Somebody just said Chichu or was the best number 14. And here we go.
I mean, dude,
about 5 seconds away from going off on Ray Whitney rant.
No. I'll say this. You can make a case for any of them except for Steve Bozak. So,
and remember Patrick Marleau for a hot minute wore 14. Just letting you know. Yeah. And Cali Green Fisherman saying, "Do you think we'll get Patrick Marleau back before his career is over so we can retire his jersey?" I don't know if there'll be a ceremony to retire his jersey when he retires. It may be a little after that. Who knows? But there is no way. Are you kidding me? That Marleau? Could you imagine if after like 3 years in Toronto, Marleau hangs up his skates and go, "Oh, by the way, I'm retiring as a Maple Leaf. Give me a break."
No, he'll get the 1 day contract. Kevin Lacey mentioning the late season hat trick against the Ducks. That was the one that pretty much sealed the deal. Mm-hmm. Against Yager, but AJ, did you have a memorable moment for Cheech?
I not necessarily a memorable moment, will he retire as 12 or 14?
Marleau,
it'll be 12. Sleepy, it'll be 12. Really, really sleepy. Come on, man, you're better than that. for Cheech, just two things come to mind. And obviously, number one, him when the Sharks were on a terrible 10-game skid at the end of November, and as they're playing in Dallas, all of a sudden Randy comes along on the mic and says, "Oh, by the way, we have a trade to announce, and Joe Thornton is now a member of the San Jose Sharks." And at that time, you were looking high and low to find something to kickstart this Sharks team, because remember, they were just like 2 years or year and a half removed from their first look at the Western Conference Finals. So just the fact that Thornton came in and just ignited the team, but just ignited Chichu, it was just a that was just a magical season, the way that that worked out. I mean, isn't Thornton, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Thornton like the only person ever to win like the Ross while playing for two different teams?
I think it's the Ross and the Hart.
Oh, okay. Yep. Either way, that's something that's pretty, I mean, and you look at it up until that point. I mean, when you talk about hardware for Sharks players, there was what? There was the Calder for Nabby. And there was like a Masterton
for Granato.
Yeah. And that was essentially it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, three trophies in the case for the Sharks. So that just the way that that whole season progressed was just unreal. And then the only other like kind of just memory of Chicho is just the fact that he constantly looked like he was a heartbeat away from falling down. That's just the way he skated.
Yeah, right. He leaned so far forward, and it just seemed like he was going to like tip over.
Yeah, and when I looked at like Setoguchi, who to me was like a little bit of a bigger build, but also kind of a similar kind of player.
Yeah.
But Seto was so strong on his skates, whereas Chicho, it looked like if you just, you know, and he was going to fall over. I mean, it was. But he, you know, but he didn't very often, but he was just, you know, everybody talks about the choo-choo whistle and all this. I always just called him, you know, I'd be watching Cheech. The games. Oh, Cheech. I'd be at games when people are going Cheech and I'm going crazy legs, you know, I mean, because it just looked like, I don't know, is it the Flintstones or there's some kind of cartoon whenever their feet move, you hear that doo. And that was just Chicho all the time. I always heard that like Flintstones cartoon effect when somebody would move their feet really fast. That's just watching him skate was like that. So it's going to be, it should be a fun night. I haven't gotten a ticket yet, but I'm going to see what I can do. Cause that, I mean, I mean, a Richard winner for Christ's sakes.
Come on. He can't take that away. One of my favorite moments was in the 04 playoffs. And it was a backbreaker goal. It was Stewart was coming down the side. He throws it to Cheech. Cheech puts it through his legs, a la Tomas Hertl of sorts, to deflect it in and beats David Abisher. And that was a sweet goal that kind of pretty much put the Avs away in that second game in 04. That was something else. So... all right.
I don't know how I feel about people commenting in the chat saying that the real star of the show has arrived because Kayla woke up in the corner. not very nice people, I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, you know. They love the kitties.
Don't do it. Yeah,
I love kitties. No, I wasn't going to do that. But hey, guys, I think it's time to check around the league. I think we call it the NHL wraparound.
No, you'd be wrong. That would be the NHL reach around.
It's wraparound.
The reach?
Yes. No, Mike Ricci will not be making a guest appearance. So there are plenty of games in the NHL tonight. We start in Beantown, where the Bruins once again have Brad Marchand save their bacon. It's his third straight game-winning goal. He scores it with 22 seconds left as the Flyers lose to the Bruins 3-2. Loss for the Flyers as the Bruins continue their hot ways. Speaking of the hot ways... the Winnipeg Jets. They beat the Devils 3-2. Taylor Hall does not get a point in this game. As Connor
Holla!
Buck gets the win for the Jets. And Corey Schneider returns, but it's the loss. In Columbus, the team formerly known as the Neon Buggers beat the Avalanche 5-4 in overtime. Seth Jones gets the game winner just a minute into OT. Soderberg gets two for the Avalanche. Landeskog and Barry as well for the Lanch. For the Jackets, Boone Jenner, Thomas Vanek scores twice in this game along with Zach Werenski. In Ottawa, where they are taking depressing team photos, the Buffalo Sabres beat the Senators in a shootout 4-3. Are we kind of fighting for number 30 between these two teams? It seems like Ryan Zingle gets two goals here for Ottawa, but they lose. And then there's the Vegas Golden Knights, who shut out the Detroit Red Wings in Detroit 4-0. Cody Eakin with two goals, including a shorty. Alex Tuch also gets two goals.
And with regards to that Vancouver game, we actually have a check-in from Rocket about the Vegas Golden Knights.
The fuck, bro?
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy how well they are. But, hey, the Knights, they're doing a great job. If Gallant doesn't win Coach of the Year and McPhee doesn't win GM of the Year, something's wrong. That's all I'm saying. They will.
I mean, like you would have not. To be...
Right?
Yeah. Let's not even go there because it's an inevitability.
Yeah. In Tampa, the Rangers lose to the Lightning 5-3. Tampa gets a three-goal second period from Cirelli, Kunitz, and Johnson to basically put them away. Spooner gets his 11th on the year, as does Zuccarello. Kevin Hayes gets his 19th to make it look like it was an interesting game, but it really wasn't, as the Lightning go to 98 points on the campaign.
Dude, in the chat. Okay, Randall, I'll give you this one, dude. When you reference like the Vegas, it's like, dude, have you guys even had your mascot get stuck in the arena yet? No? Well, then get out.
Oh yeah, Sharky rappelling down.
Oh man,
wasn't it Babcock that was like pissing and moaning, like how you know the mascot was like taken away from the start of the game and yada yada yada, and he just kind of just thought it was just a shit show.
Boo hoo.
Babcock.
Was it Babcock or was it Bowman?
Nope, it was Bowman.
Oh, yeah, okay. It was Bowman.
Yeah, it was
Bowman. So, and it's like, dude, if that's what you're going to, like, you know, sit there and complain about.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll see you next for the Showcase Showdown after that. Okay. In South Florida, I can remember at Sunrise, the Panthers shut out the Canadiens 5-0 as the Panthers make a run for the playoffs. Huberdeau, Bugstad, Michael Haley with his third on the year. There's a Michael Haley sighting, folks. Oh, yes, Dadonov and Trocheck. Trocheck's been on fire, too. He gets his 26th on the year.
As is Bobby Lou's been a little on fire lately, too.
Yeah, Bobby Lou's been doing really well.
I mean, he's not Cam Warding this bitch, but I mean.
No, he's definitely not Cam Warding this bitch.
Cam Ward didn't even Cam Ward this bitch tonight, by the way.
No, Scott Darling this bitch. Well, wait, that wouldn't work because he actually won the game for them. The Hurricanes beat the Blackhawks 3-2. Sebastian, don't call my mom a hoe. Scores the game-winning goal at 4:35 of the third period. Justin Williams, Mr. Game 7. Gets his 14th. Scott Darling goes back to Chicago and makes them pay dearly. In Rocketville, as we'll call it, the Predators beat up the Ducks. Thank you so much. 4-2 tonight.
10 in a row, right?
Apparently Raquel, the only Duck showing up in this one, by the way.
Yes, if you had Raquel on your fantasy hockey team, you did good tonight. Johansson gets his 10th of the year, Watson his 11th, Arvidsson his 25th, Pekka Rinne with the win, as the Predators do a solid for the Kings and the Sharks with that win in regulation. In a shootout, the Oilers beat the Islanders 2-1. McDavid scores the tying goal with 1:50 left. He had a sweet dangle in the shootout as well. You'll definitely check that out. As the Oilers win, go ahead.
Hey, I have a just a little suggestion for Knights Roundtable. Don't kick the beehive. That's all I gotta say. Don't kick the beehive.
Yeah, that's true. They do have more secondary scores.
And Ian pointing out that's because Vegas is a team of secondaries.
and James Neal. Let's be honest.
Well, James Neal. Real deal, I mean, James Neal.
Marsh is so in. Carlson have been lightning in a bottle for Vegas, for sure.
Come on, dude. Knights Roundtable. We've been very nice to you. Just saying.
Hey, they have a first place team in their expansion year. They can gloat a little bit.
Oh, really?
Oh, good for you.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of gloating too much, there's the LA Kings who beat the Washington Capitals 3-1 tonight. Jeff Carter gets his fourth of the season. Trevor Lewis and Kyle Clifford all scored for the Los Angeles Kings. Verana was the lone goal scorer, which means Alexander Ovechkin will come to San Jose on Saturday at 5:98. Oh, my.
And you know, Ovi's coming to town, which just means...
Hey, where are the white women at?
I'm just saying.
Oh, boy. What?
Oh, goodness.
Landy, let's talk about the standings quickly.
Let's talk about something quickly.
Hey, now. Hey, hold on. Didn't the Sharks, jump back into second? Thanks, NHL.com.
Yes, the Sharks did jump back in the second.
Now they got their act together.
Yep. 81 points, and we've got Vegas, of course, at the top with 91. Well, should we just kind of go over the East and West? Because I guess that's kind of what I do, right?
Yeah.
Over in the Metro, Pittsburgh. I mean, all-out battle right now between first place in the Metropolitan. It was Philadelphia, then it was Washington, then it was Pittsburgh, and now it's Pittsburgh with it. So Pittsburgh is currently in first place with 82 points. Capitals 81 points. Philadelphia 79 over the Atlantic. Tampa Bay is not being moved. They're at 98 points. Boston with 92 points. Toronto with 85 points. Gotta watch out though. Boston's got 3 games in hand on Tampa Bay, which could make for things. Yes. Yeah, could be a little interesting. Over in the wild card, Jersey's got the first wild card spot with 76 points, followed by Columbus, the yellow neon buggers, 75 points. And Florida, 73 points, but they've got 3 games in hand as well. So
yeah,
Florida, I'm going to call Carolina out of this one. I mean, Carolina's 2 points back, but boy, man, they've got a ton of it all, man.
Skinner can't do it all, man.
Yeah.
And dude, Bobby Lou is just, I don't know what it is. He seems to be getting on a little bit of a run here. That's you don't want to mess with Bobby Lou when he's got the runs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Florida's in. I think I take Columbus out. But it was interesting because New Jersey's got a California road trip coming up, and they could possibly see their playoff aspirations kind of come to an end at the end of their wicked road trip that they've got coming up. So it'd be interesting. I think any of the wild cards are up for grabs right now in the East. And I would say Florida is looking at either wild card spot with the amount of games they've got in hand. So definitely check out Florida. Keep them on the watch radar over in the West, the conference you know and love. Nashville, class of the West with 97 points. They got 67 games played. The Peg at 91. Minnesota at 83. Heading over in the pack, you got, like I said before, Vegas at 91. San Jose at 81. Duckies at 80. Dallas at 80. And Los Angeles at 79. Of course, Colorado is looking in. They've got 78 points. They're a point back. Same number of games played as the wild cards right now. And Calgary, man, they sure look like they are fading out of this one quick. They've got 68 games played, so pretty much all the wild cards plus Colorado have got a game in hand, and they only have 76 points.
Didn't Calgary recently lose their goalie too?
They did. Mike Smith. Yeah. However, Glenn Gullitson was saying that he looks like he might be on the mend and be back sooner rather than later, so I would check out in the next game or two to see if he comes back in.
I do want to point out one thing, though, while looking at these standings. Go ahead and keep the page up, please, Eric.
Yep.
The thing that is kind of – like, I don't know how much longer we have to look at this, but it was a fun kind of exercise in saying, what if we take the top three in this division, the top three in this one, and they play each other? We get rid of the whole 1-8 thing in the conference. Well, look at this. You've got the second team in the Central and the third team in the Central that has more points than the second and third team in the Pacific. And then if you scroll up and you look at the similar situation in the East, you've got, you know, the second and third teams in the Atlantic that have more points than the second and third teams in the Metro. I think this is Rob saying I need an electric chalk device. I need one of the
Telestrator.
I need a Telestrator. You know what? I just got the sound box hooked up. Like, give me some time.
Get off his nutsack.
Yeah. Rob saying I don't need any more toys. I try to make this a little more confusing. I'm just saying, dude, that it just seems pretty silly that the 2-3 team, that, you know, that the second and the third team in the Atlantic, they're going to face each other in the first round. One of those teams is going out, and that's silly when you look at that both of those, the second and the third team, both have more points than the number one team in the Metro. So I think this is the way that this ends up playing out, I really think the NHL needs to consider going back to the 1-8.
I just don't think it's going to happen. I think that Gary Bettman's got such a hard on for this in-division format.
I don't think it has to do with Gary Bettman. I think it's more the teams, because how much would San Jose love playing in their own time zone for the first two rounds, or LA or Anaheim or Vancouver? They love playing in that it keeps the travel down and it keeps them in their own time zone. How many series did we see San Jose versus Detroit, San Jose versus Dallas, San Jose versus Colorado? So
exactly.
That's what it is. I don't think it's a Bettman thing. I think it's the teams would take it, even though it, you know, should San Jose be where they're at? If it's one of those things that, you know, if the playoffs ended today, and we'll do this at the end of the season for our last cast of the season before we get into playoffs, we'll sit there and we'll look, how did it sort out in the current style, and how would it have played out if they went 1-8?
Well, this is what I have up right now. If the season ended today, the Sharks would play the Ducks in round one with home ice advantage. This is the top eight in the Western Conference. Based on points, no divisions matter. So top eight would be Nashville versus LA. It would then be Vegas versus Anaheim. Oh, that would be fun.
That would be fun. Boy, you talk about like no travel.
Right. Then you would have Winnipeg versus Dallas. And then the matchup for the Sharks would be Minnesota versus San Jose, with the Sharks starting on the road.
I'll take that.
So that's what it would look like there. In the East, it would be Tampa Bay versus Columbus, Boston versus New Jersey, Toronto and Philly, Pittsburgh and Washington. Oh, geez, Pittsburgh and Washington. Of course it would be Pittsburgh and Washington.
Of course. Why wouldn't it be?
But
after you make your point, please go back to the West.
Well, the point being is that the teams that are holding down all eight spots in the West are in the playoff spot. It's not like, oh, Calgary is actually in on the technicality because they were number three in the West.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Pacific, I should say.
Yeah, I'm not that aspect of it, very rare. But again, I mean, you've got San Jose playing Minnesota, Nashville playing LA,
Vegas playing Anaheim.
But you've got two of those series that could never happen currently, unless they get, you know, into the Western Conference Finals. So, you know, it's kind of like, what would you rather see? Would you rather play LA every damn year in the first round, or would you, you know, rather see Minnesota in the first round? And honestly, I'd rather see LA right now, because travel, of course, and I think the Sharks have proven that they've gotten the LA monkey off their back finally. And I think Minnesota is a more dangerous team. And I mean, Minnesota has more points and they play in a tougher division. So I think it could benefit the Sharks in the first round, but I just think that there is an argument to be made for both sides. And I'd love to. When did we make this switch? When was this?
It was 2013, 14.
It was only that. It was that short. No.
Yeah. Because really? It was.
Feels like it was like 2010 or something.
No, because it was a couple years into Winnipeg being relocated.
Wow. Right.
Well, you know what? Like, let's so 13. So we're like basically about 5 years out.
Yeah, this is the fifth season of this currently.
Yeah, so I you know, I mean, in haven't we played like LA in the first round, like the last, you know, since this has been implemented?
The exception last year against Edmonton.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm getting a little tired of seeing the same teams, man. I'm just saying, like, if it benefits the Sharks, then fine. And, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. So if you keep facing LA, okay, fine. But I don't know. I think there's a case to be made for both sides. That's all. And it's just, and again, I think Barry Trotz was the one who kind of mentioned this, where it's like, you know, it's pretty messed up that a team that has more points than two teams in the other division, they're going to get bounced in the first round because of this layout.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But I'd really love to see another blood rivalry like Detroit, Colorado, you know?
Oh,
yeah. And
but San Jose, Detroit.
Yeah. Or,
I mean, literally blood rival. I mean, remember when Marlowe was just, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't see that anymore. And I mean, what was the last really contentious series? I mean, I go back to 2013, the reverse sweep, and oh my God, 2014, 2013, 2014. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was really like the most trash talk we've seen in a long time.
Kevin Lacey in the chat saying the AHL playoff format is still way worse. Dude, the AHL is still way worse than the NHL, like that's as
scary.
A whole.
That's scary. No, but correct me, Kevin. I know this is live and I hate to do it. It's top four per division, right? That make the playoffs, and it's based off of points percentage because for some reason the Pacific Division teams only play 68. The rest of the AHL plays 74. I still don't understand why that happens, but I, you know,
it's because of travel. It's because of travel and trying to get the West Pacific teams against all the rest of the AHL.
Yeah, yeah, yes, we are live. We're doing this live. Yes.
Hey guys. Quickly in the chat, I just wanted to ask: has the audio issues been corrected from the last cast? I know that we had been kind of talking about me fading in and out, so I just wanted to get everybody's opinion on that.
No, you've been totally fine. If there was a problem, believe me, I'm the first one to mention it. I'm audio super sensitive. Before we get out of here, I sent this over to Putt Guy.
He did.
Allow me to finish. I sent this graphic over to Putt Guy earlier today, and somebody, unfortunately, I don't know who it is. You know, Randall, just
don't
go sit on a hockey stick, would you? I sent out a graphic that somebody. I don't know who it is. I would love to give them credit if I knew who it was. But they did a mock-up of what the new Seattle
NHL, yes.
Yeah.
what their unis would look like. And as I'm talking about this, of course, I'm vamping because I know that Putt Guy is bringing up this graphic.
Got it.
And they're basically referring to them as the Seattle
Metropolitans,
but they're gonna, and how fast does this end up just like the New York baseball team where they just call them the Seattle Mets, you know,
the Metros,
and it's gonna end up getting shrunk down to Mets. But to the chat, I mean, what do you guys think about this? I mean, obviously the Seattle is known as the Emerald City. You have to go with green as your base color. Now,
yep.
Does it look similar to Minnesota? A skosh?
Especially that alternate jersey.
Well, yeah, that's the thing that stuck out for me. It looks like the Minnesota, that third jersey looks like a Minnesota jersey, but with like a New York subway token as the logo on the front. That's what it reminded me of. But I look at this you got to change like the shorts. You got to change the color of the shorts. That's just way
Jaeger. Somebody yeah, put what Jaeger?
Smart ass put Jaeger? I mean, why not go with Orr or Gretzky or something?
I mean we had Matt Duchene, Calvin Pickard, just random numbers. When you're choosing to make these concepts, you usually want to try to show a player with a single number and a double digit number. And I'm sure that was probably one of their
Lacey saying that Grizzlies is the rumored favorite. See, now, I mean, is that just because, you know, the Vancouver basketball team from 20 some odd years ago? I mean, okay. I mean, I could have like thought that maybe like the Seattle Sounders just because of like Puget Sound or something.
The MLS team.
Yeah, exactly. But something of that regard, I mean, it's, I don't know. Seattle Grizzlies just sounds
lame.
Yeah. It sounds lame. Like I think Metro, like almost, I'm not that big a fan of the Metros, to be honest with you too. I'd be interested to see like what the, you know, if there, I mean, how many Eric Puck guy, you would know this. I mean, wasn't there like 25, 30 names for the Sharks bandied around, and all know Blades and
Sharks were like the final two, but there was like Fog, Golden Gators.
There was some really stupid ones. If your team has two names, it sucks. Like, I'm sorry, just like Vegas Golden Knights. It should have just been the Vegas Knights. Like, how many teams honestly have two names?
Yeah, but I think there was issues with the Knights, right?
Why they went with Golden.
Then they should have called them the Vegas Knights, but just take off the K, N-I-G-H-T. You know what I would go with? Just to harken back to the past, just call them the Seattle Sonics.
Well, the rumor is they're getting a basketball team too, and if
can have a different name.
No, they're not. They
have the records for it all, and I believe
was there a previous Seattle hockey team?
Yeah, the Metropolitans.
There's the Metropolitans. I think there was
who won the Stanley Cup.
There was the West Coast Hockey League, the Seattle Totems, which is why Totems has been mentioned. Of course, we all know the Western Hockey League, the junior team, the Seattle Thunderbirds, but that they're not going anywhere.
Oh, so, dude, I got it. Now, if we're talking about it, I mean, you either have to go one of two ways. You either go like the Seattle Starbucks.
Starbucks Green.
Yeah, or if you want to do the two-name thing, you just do the Seattle Hipster Douchebags. I mean, either way, you nail it.
That's Portland.
They started in Seattle, I'm just saying.
And they worked their way down.
That's right.
The Seattle shitty craft beer.
Yeah. Puck guy, can you like pick a slide and like stick with it for a little while?
I was just going through them all because the designer Justin Cox did an unbelievable job on presentation of this. I mean, he thought of graphics for the bus, for trains and everything, and he's already got the jerseys.
Too much time
in and even already made the jerseys for the outdoor game. I mean, come on.
Are those that outdoor jersey looks pretty sick, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess I'd go with the Metros, but
I'm always a big history guy though. I mean, like that's why I love the Giants name. There's just so much history with the Giants, and we're not going to go into Baseball Central, but historical jerseys like the Red Wings, you just keep it plain and simple. Same with the Hawks, same with the Rangers, you know.
Well, and it's not like there's not kind of, you know, like an established thing where teams across different sports have the same name, the New York Giants, San Francisco Giants, you know.
Right.
So, you know, you could go with Seattle Metros. Again, I think you're going to probably see them shorten that to the Mets, just like New York.
And Ian bringing up the greatest point, if they use the Metropolitan name, they have to raise the Stanley Cup banner game one.
They did the Ottawa Senators, and they have the banners for Sens 1.0 too, but
we're not going with Seattle Grunge then.
No. All right.
Or
oh, the Steve Cropper already saying the same thing.
The Greg Wyshynski with the Seattle Sasquatch.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, Hertz, I heard there's some squatch in here. the Seattle Space Needles. Yeah, the problem with that, that's going to get shortened. It was just going to go, let's go see the needles. And when you think about the homeless population in Seattle, no. Probably not a good look. Probably not a good look.
Anywho. All right. And in fact, the teal tinted glasses did a lot of this on the Seattle stuff as well. So kudos.
Oh, are we not allowed to talk about it if they
talk
about
it? I'm just saying.
Did I miss a memo again?
No. I'm just saying they also covered it. So a quick plug for that one as well, since, you know, Kevin, Jerk, and Ian are part of our group. But nonetheless, in case you missed anything or you want to watch this wonderful show again, where we talk about a one goal hockey game and everything else in between.
Two goals.
That's right. I forgot Hurdle scored an empty net. My bad. Check us out on TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube.
I kind of like the Seattle Comets.
Comets, yeah, I saw that one too. Yeah. I like that.
I mean, but there is a minor league team in Fort Wayne, Indiana, with that same name. But actually, that team spells it with a K.
Right.
Well.
And yeah. I don't even think the WNBA team who has the same name exists anymore. So, I mean, that's a possibility. The Comets is good.
Are they right there with the San Jose Lasers? Is that what it is?
Yeah, different league, but same thing.
All right, Eric.
Seattle Rhinos.
Yes. Final thoughts, Mr. Landy, and where the people can find you.
You guys can find me at Eric Landy on Twitter. That's no space, Eric Landy. Of course, you can find me on the Instagram, the Facebook, you know, pretty much any of that social media garbage, and I'm on there. Final thoughts. You know what? Sharks, maybe we would have liked to seen them score a little bit more against an anemic team like the Blues, but hey, they get it done. They did what they had to do. Power play got off the schneid, and lo and behold, Mikhail Bodker, everybody's favorite whipping boy, he's the savior of the power play, so go figure.
I think he's working that reputation off this season.
Well, I think he surpassed his point total
over the last 2 years combined.
No, just from last year.
Certainly feels like it.
I know. AJ, your final thoughts and where do people can find you?
I'm just really happy to see the power play pot one tonight. I mean, I was starting to feel like, dear Lord, like Lindsay Lohan could be walking out of a liquor store and they wouldn't even be able to score on her. I mean, it was that bad. It was that bad.
We kept this clean tonight.
A calendar month, gentlemen. You got to be able to, and even though, you know, February a little shorter than the others, still, you got to be able to, and Dave be calling me out. What's at the Bodker Club? Dude, he's scoring. He's put, since the calendar has turned, he's contributing. Maybe it's because he's getting consistency, because he's being on the same line regularly, playing with the same players and not being up and down. And in fact, though, if I remember correctly, I think either Gackle or Kurz pointed out that at one point tonight, like LeBanc went up and Bodker went down during the second period for a couple shifts. So, you know, Bodker, it pains me to say it when I look at your $4 million for 4 years, I got to tell you, but just keep earning that contract. This is supposed to be a bounce back year.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying this is supposed to be like the bounce back. If you look at Bodker historically, it's good year, bad year, good year, bad year. And that's pretty much the way it has been for him over like the last six seasons. This was supposed to be the good year. So hopefully he can turn it up. And now, do I think he's going to get 7 goals in the next 15 games? Probably not. I think my bet is safe. But continue, just, you know, I mean, I think if we're going to ask everybody, the one person we're going to ask is Joe Pavelski.
Way to keep doing whatever it is you're doing.
That's pretty much it. You know, that's just do that, Bodker, and I'll be fine. You can find me on the social media, AJ_Strong on Twitter and on Instagram. Also doing photos for at Tealtown USA on the Instagram. Don't forget to follow at Tealtown USA on Twitter. Puck Knowledge just ended up being off this week, but we will be back Sunday night. Well, Monday morning for some of you, but that's where we'll be.
Yep. Yep. You can always follow me on Twitter and Instagram at PuckGuy14. Kevin Lacey bringing up a great point. We totally forgot the Utica Comets. Whoops. The Vancouver AHL affiliate. So, yeah, Comets would not be working now.
Well, and the reason why we forget, because Goldobin is affiliated. Nobody's thinking about it.
Oh, now. We will be back with you for an afternoon delight following the Sharks and Capitals game. If you are headed out there, it's a doubleheader day where the Sharks play first, then the Barracuda play second, and it's
street rally in the middle.
Street rally in the middle, and it's I believe you get $10 Barracuda tickets to the Barracuda blackout game.
Yep.
The jerseys aren't as great this year. I'll just leave it at that. Well, anywho, for Eric Landy, AJ Strong, I am Eric Kura. We will see you Saturday afternoon following Sharks and Caps. Keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. Have a good night.